On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know, every fan base thinks that the referees are against them. Like, The fix is in. Most of the time, referees, they don't give a rip. I mean, I would hope that when the NCAA is deciding who goes and referees what games, you look at a guy and say, oh, you're a Alabama alum. We're not going to let you call Alabama games. And that's totally fine. That's totally fair. But Hugh Freeze, who I know a lot of our Tolos don't have a lot of sympathy for, might actually have a case that the referees hate him. Because now, three different times in two different games, Hugh Freeze's teams have been absolutely screwed by referee blunders.
Yeah.
And I don't know how else to explain it, Cole, because it I know there's that whole phrase, that whole saying about being just snake bit by injuries, by whatever it may be, but I mean, come on. The way Hugh Freeze and these Auburn Tigers have been screwed by referees this season, it's hard not to say that the fix is in.
Yeah, and you know, unfortunately, I think we all saw what happened. And it just like we all respect Kirby Smart. We all think he's a heck of a football coach. But when you see something like that, Diesel, that we're going to get to in a second, it just makes you want to just throat punch the guy. It makes you lose a little bit of respect. Look, there's nothing wrong with wanting to win. Right, but you've got to, I guess I'm just old school in the way of thinking that you've got to win the right way, right? Mm-hmm. Have class losing, have class winning. I don't like what I saw this weekend. And by the way, quick side note, apologize, Jay Butane. I did not mean to infer that Denny Hamlin won the championship. He qualified for it, according to Jay Butane, so I apologize. That was an error in our Daily Wire. So he did win yesterday, qualified for the championship, so appreciate the clarification there.
I am trying to find a good image that shows it so that I can put it up on the stream, okay? Because in case you haven't seen this yet, this is where this whole thing is coming from. First of all, Auburn got screwed. We know they got screwed in the Oklahoma game with the fake substitution that left a guy wide open on the sideline for a touchdown. Nobody caught it. And, you know, the NCAA and officials, they apologized to Kirby Smart and they punished the referees who missed it. But you get into this home game against Georgia where it was late in the second quarter.
Yeah.
The quarterback tries to go up and over. Ball's, you know, right there on the goal line. Quarterback tries to go up and over. Ball clearly crosses the plane in my mind. Georgia defender knocks it out of his hands, but it doesn't matter because the tip of the football has already crossed the plane. It's ruled a fumble, Georgia ball. If it had been called correctly, you're talking about a 17-0 Auburn lead going into halftime.
Yeah, they were already up, 10? Right before half.
But Georgia gets the ball back. Of course, they march down the field. They kick a field goal, make it 10-3. That's a 10-point swing.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get later into the ball game. And we're in a situation, scores 13-10, Georgia leading at the time. Georgia has the ball, third and nine, 13:06 to go in the fourth quarter. Play clock was down to about 2 seconds. Kirby Smart sprints in, and you can see clearly that Kirby is doing the timeout signal. I'm going to put it up on the screen right now. He's rushing in. He's doing the timeout signal. Like, trying to say that you're not doing the timeout is like Jerry Jones turning that wrist, going middle finger and say, well, I didn't mean to throw a middle finger at the fans. No, if you go thumbs up and you point, your wrist stays straight. But when you go and turn, that's intentional.
Nobody claps like this.
Yeah, Kirby Smart's coming in saying, he's doing the timeout. But then when he gets called a timeout, he's like, no, I didn't call timeout. I didn't call timeout. They were clapping. I said they were clapping.
Right.
And if you can see it on the screen, the blurry image isn't quite as easy. You got to watch the live video.
But you can still see.
Clearly see that Kirby Smart is calling a timeout. And Hugh Freeze, as much as a lot of people don't like Hugh Freeze, and that's fine, you can have your reasons, he's not having it anymore. This is Hugh Freeze in his post-game press conference.
I have no clue. It's not the Auburn part I'm worried about. I know who our president and administration and AD are and how they feel, and sure feels like we're not getting many breaks, and it's difficult to take for sure. There's a lot of things, but I felt like we broke the plane.
They
all
did.
All you have to do
you
is
did.
The ball, just the nose of the ball, just has to break the plane. And I thought that was had a pretty good shot of that on the, but it didn't go our way. And then I don't know how they either should have had a delay a game or a timeout, and not a whole new play. I'm still not sure what happened there, but there's a lot of times that. I make bad calls, and officials do the same. But it certainly feels like we're not getting many of the breaks.
So the swing is that Auburn is 3-3, and they could be 5-1 right now. They could be 5-1, and you're talking about a team that's sitting inside the top 15 right now, and it's because they've been screwed by referees in two big time ball games against two big time opponents.
It happens. Sadly, just about every year. I still believe South Carolina last year was screwed by the officials. We all believe that Auburn was screwed by the officials this year. Could Auburn have made plays down the stretch and made stops? And yeah, they could have. But ultimately, when you hear that audio from Hugh Freeze there, Diesel, you hear the frustration, the agony, right? You can hear it. And I'll say this. I think as a college football fan, what makes it probably the most frustrating is that he said it right in that audio. He makes bad decisions, but when he makes bad decisions, he gets fired for those bad decisions.
Yeah.
When officials make bad decisions, my issue is there's no accountability. There's zero accountability.
Well, you say, well, Coach Cole, the officials do get they have their tape. They go back and no.
There's no accountability. They don't have to stand in a press conference after the game and answer questions.
Yeah.
They don't have to go on a TV show the next Tuesday, Diesel, in front of the country and ask questions. They don't get fired for bad calls. It's just. I understand that humans are going to make mistakes. I get it. But we have too many cameras. We have too many replay officials, replay centers, and all this technology. We just shouldn't have to have these situations. We should be able to get it right.
And the difference here, like I said, 5-1 versus 3-3. 3-3 is where they are right now. The difference is also 16-15. Hugh Freeze's overall record at Auburn, which again, not great.
You said 16-15?
16-15. Right now he's 14-17. He'd be 16-15. He'd be plus 500 at Auburn, building back. But, a year from now, 2 years from now, if the Auburn faithful get frustrated with this, they just look at the record. They don't look back at it and say, in the Oklahoma game we got screwed, and in the Georgia game we got screwed. They don't look at that. The context, falls out in the wash. At that point, so there's huge consequences to getting this stuff wrong, and you're right, and not having the ability to go back and look at it. The fact that some plays are not reviewable when we know they affect the outcome of the games is just a ludicrous statement to me. Oh, well, that's not reviewable. Why not? Why can't you make it reviewable? Why can't you go back and look at something that
you
know is going to change the trajectory of the game and desire to get it right?
I just
don't understand that.
It's the fact of the matter is we're not in 1998 anymore. We have just way – it's 2025 and for crying out
from,
loud.
From Kirby's perspective, just say if what you were trying to signal was, hey, they're clapping and trying to throw us off, but you accidentally somehow do this motion right here.
Yeah,
just own it. Be like, "Oops, you know, my bad. I'm in the heat of the moment. I'm running, and I accidentally did this." But it's not like he just tapped it one time and then went to the clap. He tapped the timeout signal clearly, multiple times.
That's why I couldn't be a coach. If that happened to me and I was the opposition, I would lose my. You know what?
Hugh has every right to do so.
I mean, I'd be. You think Shane Beamer throw and Steve Spurrier used to throw headsets? Those things would be smashed. I hate it.
You know,
I do.
My wife and I've been going back and watching Curb Your Enthusiasm, trying to finish off the show. In one of the recent episodes, Larry David's roommate gets a job as house husband. His job is to go around and tell the plumber that wants to do like $5,000 worth of plumbing work, no, just do this. It costs $200. Do that instead. Or you tell the auto mechanic, hey, they want to do $5,000 worth of work. No, you're going to change the oil. You're going to do this. That's maybe every college football program, especially in the SEC, needs to have a coach who is willing to be the fall guy, who will come out in the media and rant, I mean like Mike Gundy epic-style rants, knowing that he is expendable, but guess what? That's your job. Your job is to be expendable. You are there to say the things that the head coach can't say because the head coach doesn't want to get fined by the conference.
You just hate it for the integrity of the game.
Right, you do. And it's Kirby saying, "Oh, I didn't do it. I didn't mean it that way." Well, it doesn't matter what you meant, Kirby. What you did was show the timeout. Here's Kirby in his postgame press conference.
Yeah, they're clapping. So I told them before the game, if these guys clap, it's a penalty. They can't clap because it will false snap. I've lost games on that before in the stadium. And I told them, I said, if they clap, I'm going to tell you. I got somebody in the box watching every play. They were clapping. So I ran over to him and said, they're clapping.
No, he didn't.
They're clapping. And he thought I called timeout. And so I wanted to make sure he understood it. Go lip read. Because I'm screaming, they're clapping. I didn't need a timeout because we were going to get it off before shot clock. It was 2-1. We were going to get it off before the play clock ended.
And what a scum.
It was the fact that they were clapping. I wanted them to call it because it's a penalty.
It was 3rd and 9, Kirby. The play clock was down to 1.5. Just admit that you got away with one.
Yeah.
Be like, you know what? I meant to clap, but my hand accidentally did this. If you got called for a timeout and be like, oopsie whoopsie, I accidentally did the wrong hand motion, whatever. And just be like, whew, okay, we got away with that one. Don't lie about it after the fact.
Jeff R. on the Hub City Spartanburgers text line said, is it just me or have we noticed an uptick in referees throwing a flag way after a play is done, like they watch the screen, then make a decision? I just again, there's a lot of things that I've seen. It feels like every season it just gets worse.
I think they're training these referees more often than not. Throw the flag and then let the command center figure it out. Because they'll have more angles at it than you do.
Yep.
They'll be able to watch it slow down in slow-mo that you can't see. Just throw the flag, and if it gets waved off, it gets waved off. Who cares if it slows the game down and makes it worse? Just throw that flag anyway.
Real quick, before we transition to some other games, Diesel, a friend of mine just sent me a screenshot and a video, and this is a good format breaker. He says, heard you talking about all of the bugs on the side of the building a minute ago and them stinking, and he sends me a video of his car. It's a white car covered in the same bugs. You know what they are? They're ladybugs. He says it's ladybug season. They're looking for warm places to hibernate for the winter. Anywhere warm that's in the sunlight, though. I'm not kidding.
I mean, that side of the building gets morning sun.
Were those ladybugs outside?
I don't think they were, unless there's like a younger larval form of ladybugs.
Those look darker than ladybugs.
Aren't red, but these were not red at all.
We had to go inspect during the commercial break, I believe, to see if those were ladybugs.
I did have an apartment get swarmed by ladybugs once.
That is weird.
It was that same mating season, whatever you want, and like corner of the window. This was not an old, crummy apartment either. Yeah. Corner of the window, ladybugs came in, and they were trailing across the ceiling like ants. It was crazy.
That, by the way, that was in North Carolina where that guy just sent me that, so he heard us. RJ says, Kirby Smart clapping is the equivalent of me currently occupying the office of South Carolina governor. It's a load of it, isn't it? I mean, it just makes you sick to hear that. But what do you do?
Maybe, though, like this, the shine on Kirby Smart is starting to wear off, and people are getting a little tired of his antics and tired of his smugness. I don't know. Maybe that has something to do with it. Moving on, Cole, to another SEC matchup, the Red River Shootout. Arch played mediocre football again, yet somehow they found a way to win the football game.
I thought he played better in the sense of, like, he didn't cost his team the game, obviously. They moved the ball. Their defense is really, really good. Yeah. And the fact that you go back and think, what did they allow, 14 points in that first game to Ohio State? I know that Arch Manning didn't look like Arch Heisman on Saturday, but when you're going against a good Oklahoma team, number one, Texas's defense was just stellar. Number two, Arch did what he was supposed to. To your point, he didn't light it up. I did watch that game. It was a good game. It just felt like you watched that game thinking, Diesel, at no point did you feel like Oklahoma was ever going to threaten. Texas' defense, this might be one of the best defenses, if not the best defense in the country. They're playing at an elite level. Now, 4-2 on the season, 1-1 in conference. Texas is not out yet. Like, they're not, like, you can't, I'm not saying Arch is going to have this miraculous run, but I'm just saying, if you do think about it, Diesel, the team that you probably don't want to get hot is probably Texas.
Yeah, with the defense as good as they have, if Arch can figure out how to play like this most games, I think they'll be in them and have a chance to win, depending on who they play. Now, this is a terrible decision by Brent Venables to let John Mateer go out there and play. Just
like
2 weeks off of his hand surgery. I didn't see the footage of this. Apparently, his hand was bleeding at one point in the game, like the stitches had popped open and he was bleeding. Look, if it works out, and you win that football game, even if you win ugly, you're talking about one of those legendary Curt Schilling bloody sock kind of moments. If it works, you're an absolute legend. If it doesn't, people call you an idiot, and it did not work for Oklahoma.
He said he felt no pain after the loss of Texas. But, man, I just don't know. I don't know if that's possible. I don't know if he was on if they gave him – I don't know what they gave. There's just no way, certainly, Diesel, that he could say that he didn't feel any pain. Ultimately, though, it's a huge win for Texas because they're kind of playing – you could argue that Texas is kind of in a playoff spot where their every game's now a playoff to them. Yeah. And fortunately for Oklahoma, they're able to lose that game. So they're a, 5-1 team now. And still a lot of football to be played now, making the trip up here Saturday.
Man, South Carolina Gamecock fans better hope that extra week – does not give John Mateer enough time to get himself right and get himself ready. You better hope that he is still just a little bit banged up going into that game, because that makes this game winnable. And you and I talked about it earlier. Some of the early projections on bowl season have South Carolina Gamecocks playing in bowl games. I don't know that there's three more winnable games left on that schedule. So you got to get this one this weekend against Oklahoma. Then you got to get Coastal Carolina, and you got to get Clemson. That's your chance to get yourself bowl eligible this year.
That's a 12:45 kick, by the way, on SEC Network this Saturday. Oklahoma favored by 5.5 points. Still a lot to get to in the show. We have some funny Dan Campbell audio overreaction Monday at 5 p.m. We want to hear from you in terms of what your overreaction is. We may have some upset pick challenge standings. May not. Hopefully we don't. I don't want to see them. Some audio. Biggest surprises, takeaways from Friday night in high school football week 7, and then we're going to rank the available coaching jobs in the final hour of the show. A lot more coming your way right here on the Fan Upstate. He's Diesel, I'm Cole Bryson, Grayson Mann of TigerNet.com. Every single Monday at this time joins the show to talk Clemson next.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Well, every Monday at this time, we talk Clemson football with Grayson Mann of TigerNet.com. If you are a Clemson fan and have a question for Grayson, let him know, let us know, and we might get to it on the Hub City Spartanburgers text line at 844-326-3663. Grayson Mann, TigerNet.com. Rumor has it, Grayson, that your New England Patriots are playing so well, you have sold your soul to college football, and tonight you're on the road to Atlanta for Monday Night Football. You're not going to cover college anymore. You're just an NFL guy now. Is that right?
I think I lucked my way into my brother having to do a full teacher takeover, so I'm taking his season ticket for tonight.
Gotcha.
And I'm going to be a pseudo-Falcons fan for rent tonight. And with if Buffalo loses tonight, New England gets first place in the division, so the rooting interest is only higher. So I can't wait, man.
I like it. Grayson, it's a couple of games in a row now that Clemson has looked themselves, right, back to form. Curious to know, how long do you think Cade would have stayed in the game past where he exited after that ankle injury, and what can you give us as far as the latest on that?
Yeah, so Sweeney talked to us last night about it, and he says that he thinks Cade Klubnik is going to be okay, and that they're going to probably limit him a ton in practice. And as far as I'm aware, we were watching him like a hawk during the scenario where he goes into the tent, doesn't look as good. There's a little bit of panic. You have the Twitter DMs flying. And so we're watching the tent. He's in there for a long time. And I feel like usually you kind of have an idea of, all right, we need to get you to the locker room, or we need to sort of figure out what the next step is. He was in there for quite some time. And so the concerns started to build, obviously, with this group. And so Klubnik comes out, he gives his parents the thumbs up that he's going to be okay. And ultimately, I talked to him post-game to sort of get an idea of how he's feeling, how he's doing. And he said that he was fine. He didn't really have a comment as to his total status, but overall he said he was going to be okay. Sweeney, it sounds like he's going to be okay. So not as much concern, but ultimately something we have to monitor, especially the way that they've run the offense with Christopher Vezina.
What was your biggest takeaway from Clemson's win up north on Sunday, Grayson, as you now travel south? What was your biggest takeaway from you being there in person?
Yeah, so I watched the game back in the Boston airport, trying to just sort of assess where things are at. And the thing that I got away from this, and you and I talked about, you, me, and Diesel had talked about the North Carolina game and how much of a mess Bill Belichick's led squad is. And that I, my theory was, okay, I think Clemson's going to win this game, but I don't think it's going to be this easy smackdown where players aren't even tackling or trying. This is going to be a comfortable win for Clemson in the sense of situationally, offensively, I thought they're going to get the points when they needed to. And again, they were in control. Klubnik and Garrett Riley, I felt like it was Riley's best called game. Klubnik, I had asked him, what was sort of the secret to success with these receivers? And he said that they were kind of noticing a man tendency running single high safety. So Riley called a lot of brilliant designs over the middle of the field, forcing these Boston College DBs to choose, okay, you got to go this way or that way. You got to communicate well. And it felt like it really benefited Bryant Wesco, Antonio Williams, who had 12 combined catches. I was really impressed with the product. I know fans are going to push back and say, well, it's Boston College, and that it's this idea that they're playing in fear of competition. But I don't think Clemson's earned that benefit of the doubt if they just get to go in and mollywop a team this year. I think that they've sort of proven now that they have an opportunity against SMU to play better competition and see how it goes.
Well, Grayson, you know, this is something you've told us multiple times throughout the season, that Christopher Vezina is just not ready. And yeah, what we saw on Saturday night in Boston is just more proof of that. Christopher Vezina is not ready. So I think it's fairly okay to say that if Vezina has to go and be QB1, Clemson's probably going to struggle in this game coming up on Saturday against SMU, a pretty good team. I mean, they're going to have to score. In my mind, they're going to have to score 30 points to have a chance to win this football game. What is, you know, what kind of regimen are they doing to try to get Cade back? You said a lot of rest. I mean, is it just stay off of it for 4 days and hope for the best? Is that really where we are?
Well, it's an ankle sprain, so it's tricky. You don't want to overdo it in practice. And I think at this point in the season, you're at an understanding of where the offense is at. And for Klubnik, he's been around the block a few times with this Garrett Riley offense. So I don't think they're going to push it too hard in practice. The thing that the doctor, maybe ordering here, is that he just needs to rest it and not overdo it. Obviously, mentally, you still want to take those reps, but I can imagine it's going to be a lot of mental stuff for him and trying to just sort of, when they're running that scout team look, when they're running those stuff at a Wednesday and through Tuesday practices, it's, all right, Klubnik, what are you seeing here? We're going to run this at half speed. We just want you to see what SMU is going to try to diagnose on Saturday. We're not going to really run you around too much. He's a tough kid. We've seen that on multiple occasions where he's gotten whacked before. But I do think with an ankle sprain, it's tricky, and Clemson's going to have to be really careful here. And I think also it changes how they operate the offense on Saturday, because we saw a lot of motion. We saw a lot of movement with Klubnik's legs, and I really felt like that's opened up this Clemson offense in the last few weeks, is Klubnik scrambling and a lot of more designed runs. I don't think they can do that as much on Saturday, if at all, because of the nature of this injury.
Grayson, you mentioned a few minutes ago about Garrett Riley and his play calling on Saturday night. Do you believe that Garrett Riley and the offensive staff can take a lot away, can learn a lot from a night like this? You talked about Boston College going into the game 1-4 on the season. Clemson had their way, now 3-3 on the season. What do you feel like the offense can learn about where they are, improvements, versus kind of what you said from the fan perspective of, well, do you really think the offense got better just because of who they played? What do you think they can learn through that?
Well, I asked Klubnik exactly that. What can this offense learn? And he said, I think we've learned the power of fast starts. And that's something that this offense, up to that point in North Carolina, hasn't necessarily done, is having a nice scripted set, knowing and understanding what we want to do with the ball. There's been a balance between running Adam Randall early, trying to establish that, while getting Klubnik out in space and finding open receivers for these plays. One of the best throws of the night from Klubnik wasn't the one that – it was great, the touchdown throw to Wesco, but it was that back shoulder fade early on in the game where it felt like they were on the same page. They understood what Boston College was trying to do. And I don't know if that's something that they diagnosed beforehand and say, this is a design back shoulder, or Wesco and Klubnik are communicating and saying, I've seen this, let's go here. And that's just sort of the chemistry that these two have developed throughout this season. They've been remarkable. And Wesco has been one of the best receivers in the country and may not get the credit he deserves because of Clemson's record. But man, he was on fire and he continues to do so and perform at a high level this year.
At @gray_man21 is where you can find and follow him on Twitter. Kane on the stream says, Grayson, could you ask Dabo tomorrow if he's satisfied with the quarterback development now and since Trevor Lawrence has left? So we got a request here for a question for you to ask of Dabo. My question for you now, and again, I only bring this up because a listener brought it up on the text line earlier. Now with the head coaching job at Penn State open, can you tell us what you know about Tom Allen's possible desire to ever be a head coach again?
I think that one of the main factors of Tom Allen making this move was to be closer with his family. He's got family in North Carolina. I believe his children live in that state. I don't know exactly where. And so that was a big reason as why he wanted to come to Clemson. And so I don't anticipate all of a sudden there's going to be a, Tom Allen back up to Penn State. I think that the move is going to be a little bit more national. And honestly, to me, the candidate guys that I think folks need to start talking about is Alex Golish at USF, being a guy that's done a lot with very little and seeing what he's been able to do over there at South Florida. I can't imagine what a coach of his caliber could do with the resources up there in Happy Valley. That's going to be a little bit more of a national search. I don't think Tom Allen, if fans are worried about him potentially flipping back to Penn State, I don't envision that being the case.
Grayson Mann, TigerNet.com, joining us right here on the Fan Upstate. When you start looking to SMU, you talked about what Cade's health will mean. Look, Cade Klubnik had a big Saturday on Saturday night in Boston. If he's healthy, there's signs to believe that he and the receivers could have a big day this Saturday as well. SMU, they're ranked 133rd nationally in passing yards allowed at 316 yards per game. Do you feel like even if Cade Klubnik limps literally into the start on Saturday against SMU, that SMU's deficiencies on defense will still allow Cade to have a good enough day for the Tigers to get the win?
I think if you're a betting man, you're going to have to take the over and run with it because this is going to be a track meet on Saturday. SMU's offense, of course, much like last year, high-flying. Kevin Jennings and SMU, they've seemingly picked up where they left off on that side of the ball, but defensively, that's where those struggles have gone. TCU and Baylor, their two losses, they've given up, I believe, an average of 37 points a game. It's been pretty ridiculous, the rate of how many points SMU has to score to just stay in these games. So for Clemson, it's going to be a lot of, okay, is Klubnik going to be healthy? But I do think that you look at this SMU defense, and if you have to go to Christopher Vezina, at least you're playing a defense that you're not playing the 85 Bears here. It's going to be a group that's given up a lot of chunk plays. They can't get off the field on third down. That's pretty quarterback friendly. And so whoever lines up under center on Saturday for Clemson, I do think they're going to be able to put points on the board in an effective way.
If Cade has to stand in the pocket and essentially just be a statue back there, number one, how do you feel about the offensive line's ability to give him enough time to be successful there? And, you know, if he can't run with his legs, do you think there's enough to be able to find success on the field?
I really felt like the offensive line against Boston College. Now, granted, there's always going to be that caveat of the competition. But I do believe, and you saw it with Braden Jacobs, and Sweeney had said on Saturday night that Jacobs grew up in Chestnut Hill in a big way. I really felt like the offensive line protection-wise, especially on the tackles, and I watched this again on Sunday to confirm, but man, I really felt like that group played really well. Some of the runs that they're being able to develop and some of those gaps that are wide open, it's more about the vision of Adam Randall, which is a different conversation, but I've been really pleased with this offensive line the last 2 weeks. It's going to be a little bit of a bigger step, and maybe you'd like to have Tristan Lee in there, a little bit more experienced. But Braden Jacobs really gave you a reason to feel confident that if Lee's not ready to go, he can provide quality reps at left tackle and give you something really good to feel about. That's an anchor right there, even with his size. And he's becoming more assertive, especially within the screen game and some other stuff that they're trying to run. Felt like it was a big night for 74. And so as this competition increases in difficulty, I think the offensive line has risen to the occasion, and they'll play pretty well.
Grayson, where do you feel like the mindset is right now among the fan base? It's kind of uncharted waters in a way, just with the team being 3-3, the season feeling like a wash, right? The playoff chances very, very low at this point, the rough 1-3 start. Where do you feel like the pulse is on this fan base right now?
I think right now it's just the excitement that the team is winning football games. And I had mentioned it earlier, and I'd written in a column about if this success can be sustainable. And I'd hark back to the Troy game where you and I you, me, and Diesel sat down and said this Troy game is the get-right game for Clemson after a rough showing against LSU, and it was anything but. There was the Mother Nature delay. You needed everything in the arsenal, even outside of your control, to beat a Trojans team that's out in the group of five. So for Clemson, you looked at this two-game road trip as a roadmap back to success, and you were playing inferior competition. Can Clemson get back to that expectation of, okay, they're playing X team. They're going to go in there talent-wise. This shouldn't be a competition. And so for Clemson now, it's can they sustain this against better competition? I think SMU, you can get a win on Saturday. I know that this team would be 4-3 and that a lot of Clemson's goals preseason aren't attainable right now, but at least you're starting to validate that some of the stuff that's going on within the building. I mean, you look at Penn State, guys, that team quit on James Franklin after the Oregon game. The Oregon game was their Super Bowl, and then shortly after, the Super Bowl hangover took place in a pretty nasty way against Northwestern and UCLA. And those are teams you absolutely shouldn't be beating. That'd be if Clemson lost. So let's say they lost to North Carolina and then followed that up with a loss to Boston College on that two-game stretch on the schedule, sort of trying to compare Big Ten teams to ACC teams. But you look at Dabo Swinney and how he's able to sort of right the ship here. I think he's done a really good job in these last 2 weeks. It's hard to be 1-3 and in an NIL era where it's easy to tap out. I think this team's done a phenomenal job the last 2 weeks, given the circumstances that they've had.
Grayson, can you give us your thoughts on the development and the relationship between Cade Klubnik and Bryant Wesco, who is emerging as the number one wide receiver on this team? I mean, his reception yards are dwarfing everybody else on the team. He's got about 250 on TJ Moore and almost 300-plus on Antonio Williams. Why is it, and what is it about this talented sophomore, who's not the biggest wide receiver, really kind of separating himself from the other guys on this team?
And he really could have more if a couple of balls just fit in those mitts the right way in certain games. So he's had a subject of criticism because he's had a couple drops. But overall, Wesco, I think the injury to Antonio Williams was a big part, and Klubnik had to really rely on somebody else. And they've really sparked this chemistry. It felt like that there was a healthy balance last year between the freshman wideouts and then obviously Antonio Williams leading the charge. But when Vero goes down, someone has to step up. And Wesco certainly has. He's made big plays. He's made big plays where Klubnik can trust him to win 50-50 balls. And on third down, it feels like he's looking to 12 on a consistent basis. So certainly a positive spot and something that the trust is continuing to build. I think that back shoulder fade at Boston College early on in the game was really emblematic of how much these two really trust each other.
All right, Grayson, let's get to it. Since your team is good, mine's not, we'll let you shine. Your time to shine. The New England Patriots 4-2, 3-0 on the road after yesterday's 25-19 win over the Saints. It was close, but you got the win. That's all that matters. Drake May looked good, 18 of 26, 261 and 3 touchdowns. Take your fan glasses off for a second, if you don't mind, okay? Sure. Is this Patriots team a contender?
I'm not sure. I think that I'm excited right now because it's a team that's won four games. They've won four games in 2023. They won four games in 2024. And they're sitting at 4-2 in 2025. So it's tough not to get excited and be sucked into the thrill that is this season has become. And I was really worried, Cole, that after Buffalo, it's this emotional high. Patriots fans haven't had a win like this in forever, probably since Brady was on the team. How do they handle that success? You go play a New Orleans team that's, I think, better than their record indicates. A lot of one-score losses. Spencer Rattler doesn't look like a statue out there. He can really sling it. So you're wondering how this Patriots team could respond. And man, let me tell you, the schedule looks pretty favorable. I think they're a playoff team. And overall, I think as the play continues to evolve from Drake May, I find it hard outside a few quarterbacks, who's playing better than him right now? I think obviously you have your set top quarterbacks in the league, the Mahomes, the Lamar Jacksons, Josh Allens. But Drake May, as of right now, I think he's playing like a top six quarterback. As of right now, yeah. I'm not trying to put him over anybody else, but Lamar obviously isn't in that conversation because he's hurt. There's other factors going on, but he's one of the few quarterbacks that had seen a stat driving up here to Atlanta that he's one of three quarterbacks on pace to throw for 250 yards per game with a passer rating over 100. That's Patrick Mahomes and Dan Marino. So he's in elite company. Drake May certainly playing like a franchise quarterback, and I got a big smile on my face when that that CBS flicker comes on and the Patriots are playing.
Grayson, in the context of this conversation, this may sound like an odd question, but after I ask it, you'll probably figure out why. Grayson, are you a coffee drinker? I know you're a busy guy who has lots of deadlines to fill in, and TigerNet, you guys are always posting a ton of content. Are you a coffee drinker, a caffeine consumer?
I'm really not a coffee drinker, and everyone they look at me like I have four eyes when I say that, given the schedule. I have been tempted, but I feel like I'm one of those people that if I started drinking coffee, I'd become over-reliant on it for energy. So I don't know if you're trying to segue into like an ad or something, so I apologize if not. But
well, we were trying to, but the sponsor just quit. We can't anymore.
Thanks. We just lost him.
I mean, yes, I love coffee. Yes.
Grayson, I was going to ask you, you know, how you do it when it comes to creating and generating the kind of content that you have to create and all the travel that you do because you're all over the place. And we're going to be getting into this Dan Campbell story in the next segment of the show. So I was just curious you're just naturally gifted. Not everybody has that. And you should be proud of that.
Hey, I appreciate that. I really do. The coffee thing, I really hope that like you weren't like about to go into like a commercial there, do an ad read, and the person that you're trying to ask to like set it up, like you lobbed me up a pass. And I dropped it completely. So if I fumbled that, that's on me, guys.
It's all good. You're the best, man. Appreciate you as always. Have fun tonight.
Hey, appreciate you guys. God bless y'all.
Absolutely. Grayson Mann, TigerNet.com, joins us every Monday at that time. Diesel, good stuff there.
Yep. When we come back, the reason I asked Grayson that question, and again, I am jealous because think of all the money he is saving over the course of his lifetime, not consuming tremendous amounts of coffee every single day to get his job done. But it is going viral, the story of Dan Campbell's Starbucks order. We'll get into the numbers of it and how, good God, that might be really unhealthy next. Mm.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You know, Cole, that saying that Americans, Americans will do anything not to use the metric system.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes we measure things based on its ability or inability to kill a horse. They're like, that's so much cocaine, it would kill a horse, you know, that kind of thing, that saying?
Yeah.
Well, I think we need to change that to what it would take to kill Dan Campbell, the head football coach of the Detroit Lions, because Dan is going viral right now for his daily Starbucks coffee order. He was in a press conference somehow, some way. Somebody asked him what he does to have the energy that he has every single day. And this is why I asked Grayson Mann that question in the last segment. Here was Dan on his daily Starbucks order before coming into work.
Well, normally what I do is I'll get two venti. I go to, you know, Starbucks, I get two venti of the pint with two shots in them. So black eye in both. That's what I come in with. That's how I start the day.
What was that sound effect you made?
He's going like pouring extra shots into your coffee. So he orders two venti pike roasts, which is just their daily, you know, coffee that they brew.
Yeah.
And two shots of espresso in each. I did the math on this, Cole. A venti pike roast coffee is between 390 and 490 milligrams of caffeine. So let's average that out and say you're talking about 450. He's drinking two of those. That's 900 milligrams of caffeine to start his day. He also adds four shots of espresso, which are about 75 milligrams of caffeine. So add another 300 milligrams to that. That means in the 40 ounces of brewed coffee plus four shots of espresso, Dan Campbell is taking in roughly 1,200 milligrams of caffeine every single morning. Sometimes more, because it depends on the roast and the brew and how you make it.
It's got to be good for his heart, right?
No, it's not. Oh. It's really not good for your heart, Dan. The FDA says you should not consume more than 400 milligrams of caffeine a day, and Dan is quadrupling it.
He probably doesn't care, I guess. My only concern is, do you think Dan Campbell can afford that every single day?
Yeah.
I think he's got the money. You think so?
I mean, do you think he could just show up and, I don't know, flash his Lions ID badge and just get his coffee for free?
But, you know, those people at Starbucks probably have no idea who he is, what a Lion is,
right?
They probably think there's Lions outside. I mean, they wouldn't know. But that's insane.
Yeah.
I don't drink coffee a lot. I do occasionally, but I get some people need – it just doesn't affect me.
I drink two in the morning just to get out of bed, one right before our show, and sometimes one more towards the end of our show if I feel myself, you know, dragging a little bit, or if I plan to go to the gym right afterwards. But I'm only consuming at most around 500 milligrams per day. Dan is consuming 1,500 before going to work, which is nuts.
That's a lot. It just doesn't do anything for me. I don't know why.
Maybe you're not drinking enough.
I've tried. I mean, I don't hate it with cream and stuff. I don't like it black, but it just, I guess either it's one of those things. It's like the Dallas Cowboys. You either love it or hate it.
Texter says, y'all realize that's a year. No, I didn't realize that was a year old. It was in today's news. It was in today's news. If the news is a year late, well, then the news is a year late. But I don't have time to fact check everything.
How do you like those apples? It is time, Diesel, to overreact. And Tolos, we need your help. Diesel and I have overreactions, but we want to hear your best sports overreaction from what happened this weekend. Give me a good one today. We need a good Monday overreaction. Phone lines are open right now, 844-326. There are people already calling, 844-326-3663. Overreaction Monday next.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.